Welcome to the Underrepresented in Tech podcast, hosted by Michelle Frechette and Allie Nimmons. Underrepresented in Tech is a free database built with the goal of helping people find new opportunities in WordPress and tech overall.
Hi, Allie.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I still think it's funny that like you're in Texas, where I do understand it gets cold in Texas. Don't get me wrong, but it's not as cold as New York usually. Oh. And I'm in like a thin shirt and you're in a hoodie.
Yeah. I mean, even when it's cold, we keep our apartment usually pretty cool. Like I'm just more comfortable and I feel more alert in like colder temperatures. So I typically, heat the house for hoodie vibes. But you're right, though, when it's genuinely bone chilling cold outside, you turn on the heater and you get as warm as possible. But it's like, it's pleasantly cold outside. So we can still kind of keep the AC on and, you know, have it be bearable.
It is funny, though. I mean, it's just
one of those things.
But it's not that I'm not cold right now. I have my slippers on. I have my heat set at, I think, 71. Mm-hmm. And I'm still chilled today. So, you know, there's that. But I do, I mean, there are longer sleeves. It's not like I'm sitting here in a tank top for people who can't see, but nobody can see because we don't video out there. So for those of you who can't see, I'm not sitting here naked.
That'd be a whole other sort of podcast.
That would be in a different genre altogether. Anyway, so I hear my cat's doing strange things. I hope it's not coming through. I don't know if it is.
Whatever. I didn't hear anything.
Okay, cool. So we have some news.
Yeah, we have some news. Starting, this is the beginning of my last few episodes on the podcast.
That's right.
Starting in the new year, I won't be on the podcast anymore. And that is very much a positive thing, I will say. There's no drama, like nothing has happened.
I didn't kick her out.
we're not beefing. There's no WP drama. Like there's nothing like that.
We're still besties.
We're closer than ever. I think if anybody who is listening has been like following my socials in any way in the past few months, you'd know that I'm taking large setbacks from a lot of things. Including just WordPress. And so as I'm like moving into new parts of my career, I've just kind of had to reshuffle and reprioritize some things. And to me, it didn't seem fair to try to keep working with Michelle on Underrepresented in Tech while I'm trying to give 100% to other things. Because either I would be shortchanging myself on those other things, or I would be doing very subpar work on this side of things. So I thought about it for a really long time, and I decided that the best course of action is for me to sort of retire from UIT and give Michelle full control of the reins. And, you know, we've been talking about what that could mean and what that could look like. But yeah. I will be doing a couple more episodes in December. And then after that, I won't be on the show anymore. And I won't really be working on the project anymore. I'll still be around. But yeah.
I'll come back as a guest.
Yeah, I'll come back as a guest. I just really want to stress, like, I'm sad because it's the end of something, but it's not like, I don't feel like, I feel like a lot of times when you start a big thing like this, and you stop working on it, there's almost a sense of like you failed, right? Like you didn't see it through and you failed. I don't feel like that at all. I feel like it's time and it feels like the right thing to do. But yeah, there's no, I'm just concerned people are going to be like, oh my God, like what happened? What's going on?
I mean, the truth is you're dead to me now.
We're never going to speak ever, ever again.
That's it. It's over. No, of course not. And you know, of course you and I are friends first and foremost above everything else. And I feel like I've been like your WordPress mom, even like a, like you have a mom you love. It's not like you're estranged from your mother. You and your mother are incredibly close. I'm your other mother.
You're my other mother.
And that's not going to end. And we'll still text each other and call each other and all of the things and be connected in so many ways. And who knows, maybe someday our paths will cross into another project even, right? Because you just never know. But I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
I was talking to you last night, as you know, but for anybody who wants to hear about it, you and I were talking. And I'm like, I haven't cried about this. And usually like things that hit me emotionally, I cry about because I'm a crier from like way back. I think I've mentioned before that like some of the sappy commercials at Christmas make me cry, even if they've been on since my childhood. And I'm sure I will have those moments of, oh my gosh, it's, you know, so different now or whatever. But I can't cry about this part of it because I'm so excited for the things that you're going to be doing and the fact that it's not the end of underrepresented in tech. I am going to continue with the project with your blessing, of course. And I wonder if that noise is my Christmas tree just tipping over as I put it up. And I was like, what is it? Anyway, sorry, totally distracted because I have a Christmas tree and cats with catnip. But yeah, it's not the end of underrepresented in tech. Is it going to look the same? Of course not, because it's going to have different voices. And, you know, I may do different things with it, or who knows what's going to happen in the future. I'm not going to be like, well, Allie's out, I'm changing everything. It's not going to be like that either. And have all the decisions been made about how things are going to go forward? Of course not. I'm talking to some different people about some different ideas. And at least for the first 3 months of next year, the first quarter of next year, I'm not going to have a regular co-host. I'm going to bring guests in. I'm going to sit with it a while as I talk to people and not make any rash decisions and work to make, to build it up into whatever it will be after Allie, AA after Allie. But there's still so much potential in this project and it still serves such a good purpose in the tech community that I want it to continue. And I know you do too. So I'm excited about all that. And it's going to be exciting for both of us in just different ways. Yeah. For sure.
Absolutely. I'm excited. And I'll still be listening to the episodes and like, you know, supporting in ways that I can. And, you know, we've already talked about potential people that could be on the show and like that, I'm really excited about. So yeah, I think it'll be like, there'll be like a good brush of fresh air into the project. I think if there's more people, different people coming in and talking to you and injecting new ideas, that's always, always, always a good thing.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm still excited about it. And, you know, and like this year, well, let's talk a little bit about the timeline of what we have been over the last, when did we launch? Do you remember when we first launched? I want to say it was the fall of 2021.
It's on the website. It's on our
website. If I looked at the website, I'd know. But clearly I didn't do that.
Oh, it's on our media kit. We launched in October of 2020.
2020. So we've been doing this for over three years already. I was thinking it was 2 years. Holy moly, girl. Okay.
Three years.
It's a long time. So we launched in October and for those of, I mean, I think we've told the story before, but for people who might not have been here from the beginning, Allie and I were getting asked constantly because we were talking in the community individually and together about the need for more inclusion and more representation. And so we started talking to each other like, hey, everybody keeps asking me, do you know a Black person who would be good to speak at this conference? And they were asking Allie, do you know somebody? Or they were either asking Allie to speak, and good golly, she can't be everywhere all at once and be everybody's token everything because she's got the face that matches what they're looking for. So we started to talk about like, who could we recommend when people are asking us? And is the burden on us to recommend people at all? And we foolishly started a Google Sheets.
Yeah.
People that we know speak. This person speaks, so that person speaks, and this person talks about this, and that person talks about that. And then as it started to grow, I don't even know. I don't even think we had 20 people on it before we were like, this sucks. I don't want to do this.
This isn't a good idea. It was difficult to manage, but also the main thing we thought about was like, we are completely taking agency and responsibility away from the people we'd be recommending, right? Like we would not be in any, we would be collecting their information, even if it was just like their social media or their email or something, and giving that to other people without their permission. And we were like, that's not a sustainable way to do this. It's not a safe way to do this. What's a more, like, we are website people. We are internet people. We are, you know, online solutions people. So what can we like build? What can we make? And I know that like within like 24 hours, you had already like bought a domain name.
The longest domain name either one of us has ever owned.
And then I think within the next like day, you had already acquired like, you had already talked to the people at Gravity and like gotten us a license key or something. Like it moved super fast. And laurels. I was like, okay, Michelle is going full steam ahead. Like I need to catch up. We need to do that.
And you were so kind to build the site. So, cause I didn't have the time to do that. I could get us all the resources and you're like, I want to build it. And so I was like, please. Yes. That would be lovely. Like, and the whole idea, I know, it's awesome. It's fun. The whole idea was just to build this database and that people could opt into. And then we were like, oh, there's so many topics. We should start a blog, or hey, let's start a vlog. And we were like, I do remember, like, I think we even tweeted, so like, vlogging's not dead. Come watch our vlog. And it was like, it was 7 or 9 episodes. And we're like, okay, this is a podcast. We're not vlogging anymore. This sucks. We don't want to do this.
They're still available on our YouTube channel where the webinars are.
you can go back and look at them.
How many episodes there were. And like, they were basically just video podcasts at the end of the day. Like, it wasn't like it was, when I think of a vlog too, I think of like, you're out in the world and you're like going places and doing things. And it was just us on just a Zoom like we are now. It was, they're still up here. We look so different.
I bet we do. Oh, I didn't even have purple hair yet, I don't think.
No, your hair was still brown. I look skinnier. My hair was way shorter.
I probably look skinnier too.
That's wild.
We were babies.
Yeah, we were little babies.
I was in my 50s, but whatever.
there's 12 episodes.
Oh, wow. That's more than I thought even.
They don't even have topics. We just were like,
what are we going to do? We just shot the breeze every week.
Like, what were we even talking about?
I don't know, but you have converted them into podcasts now. So those are on our podcasts. Mm-hmm. So like we could go back and figure it out probably. But the point is, how many episodes are we up to? I know that you know this better than I do.
We are on episode number 130-something.
That's pretty impressive.
It's very impressive.
We have staying power. But yeah, it was one of those
113.
Things where
I exaggerated a little bit. 113 episodes.
Over 100 is still pretty damn impressive. I'm proud of us. But I think one of the things that I've learned so much through this process is, number one, trust your partner, and trust your partner to call you out. So there's times when I was focusing on things that I shouldn't have been focusing on, or not shouldn't have been focusing on, but not splitting my attention enough in the right directions. And Allie's like, hey, I really need your help on this. And I was like, you know what? You're right. I'm going to step up. And it wasn't easy for Allie to say that to me. I know, because it's not easy to tell somebody that. It wasn't easy to hear. But I have learned over the years not to argue, but I was too busy doing other things. No, I was just like, yeah, you're right. How can I fix this, right? Yeah. And how can I share the burden better? And so I've learned to be a better partner because of the work that we've done together. And that's, you know, in part, I mean, totally due to you and the way that you have made it possible to work in a safe environment and for us to be able to speak frankly with one another and say, I really need your help. And that's a wonderful thing. And also, that things that you plan don't need to stay the way that you think they need to be. Yeah. So adding a vlog was like, hey, we should do this. And then being like, let's make this a podcast instead. Yeah, let's make this a podcast instead. And the way that we've worked it through and the way that it's morphed over time and how we incorporate. And then like, oh, and as if we didn't have enough to do, let's make a newsletter too, right? So we have a newsletter now. And it's all such good stuff. And I'm really proud of how we never let any of those speed bumps or feeling like we were wandering with the project stop us from continuing forward to the ultimate goal. And so I think that as you step away from the project at the end of this year, you are leaving it in the direction that we didn't even know we wanted at the beginning. But I feel really confident to pick up the reins and continue.
Yeah. And I think what a lot of what's made that really easy as far as like pivoting and changing things as we go is the core of what the project is has pretty much never changed. Like from that first day where we decided we're going to build a database that people can search and find other people, that has never ever changed. It is the same functionality as it has been 3 years ago. It still works the same. There have been people who have been in there the whole entire time. We've added questions and like specialties and things as we've gotten requests. And we've learned more about things like consent. And we have a whole section on the form when you submit yourself about consent information. We've improved it, but it's never changed. And so all the things around it, I've always seen as like almost like funnels, right? Like these are things we're doing to bolster the database, to bring people to it who may not have ordinarily found it, to raise awareness about it, to provide additional support for people who are in the database. And so it feels like because the goal is always the same, if the means change, that's not that big of a deal. I think what really like makes me panic is like if my goalpost is always changing, I don't know what to do. But since our goal has always remained pretty much exactly the same, it's just a matter of like we've just had to be creative to find ways that we can continue to support it in interesting ways. And you see what sticks, and then what doesn't stick goes away. And like because it's just us, like we don't have like a board, we don't have like a CEO to report to or something. It's just you and me. So we can just look at each other and say, I don't want to do that anymore. Or like, you want to do that? Sure, let's do that. Like, there's no red tape, there's no rules, there's no nothing. And it makes it so much easier. And also because of that, like there's no ego with you and me, right? Like, and I think that is what makes it more easy for us to call each other out on things. And because I know that like you're not going to take things super duper personally. And you're not going to get angry at me or whatever. And I hope that the same goes for me of like, yeah, if I mess up or if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, whatever, and you remind me, like literally today I lost track of time and Michelle's like, you still want to record the podcast? And I was like, yes, sorry.
I'll be right there.
That happens more than I would like to admit, but
Oh, and that happens to both of us. He's like, I've gotten those texts from you too. Like, are you coming to the podcast? I'll be right there.
And we've worked together in other capacities. Like I know how much work Michelle does. I know how many places Michelle has pulled into because I've seen it. I've worked with her in those companies. So I have a lot of empathy for, the fact that there are other things mentally in your brain that might take priority over this, your real job, Also, your disability, I know sometimes is like it's just not going to happen today, right? And that is, I don't even feel like I need empathy for that. That is just a fact of life. And it,
Understanding and a
and
willingness to roll with it
yeah.
is more like it, yeah.
And I remember a while ago, I was working on a show with somebody, and I don't know why I always just remember this. They told me there's no such thing as a podcast emergency. And I thought that was so funny because it really is sort of like, if we miss a week, if we record a little late, whatever, it's not that big of a deal.
No,
It
nope.
doesn't matter all that much. Like we take what we do seriously and it's important to us, but I think we've also both of us have had the same level of it's not that big of a deal if we miss a week, if we're late, if whatever.
It's not like suddenly we set back the civil rights movement 20 years because we missed a week of podcasting. But the flip side of that too is that one of the things that, you mentioned we don't have a board, we don't have people over. We do have sponsors, but they choose to sponsor us. We are not beholden to them. We can talk about whatever we want to talk about. And you and I have tackled some pretty serious issues over the last 3 years. Not only that, but we don't pull punches. Like people say, well, what's your podcast about? And I'm like, the real stuff. We talk about the real things that are happening to underrepresented folks in our community, in the tech community, in the world. I mean, there's plenty of episodes that aren't just about tech. And we lean into it because if there's people in tech that those affect, it's still affecting people in tech, right? So we talk about a lot of those hard issues. And there are weeks where the topic, Allie's like, all right, you lead this one. You have more experience. And there's other weeks where I'm like, she has an idea and I'm like, I'm here to support you. You take the lead on this one. And we just kind of pass that back and forth. I want to ask you, I have some ideas of my own, like my own answers to these questions. So I want to ask you a couple of questions about the last 3 years. So the first question I want to ask you is like, what's one of the most fun things that you and I have done together on this podcast, whether it was on the podcast or the project or whatever it was? I mean, yes, launching it was exciting, those kinds of things. But what's an episode or an experience that you've had in the last 3 years that you're just like, that was so fucking cool? Oh yeah, we can swear on our podcast because we don't report to anybody for that either.
I feel like this is going to sound super like materialistic or capitalistic or whatever, but when we really started getting sponsors for the project, for the podcast, and you know, our sponsor packages aren't enormous. It's not like we could retire on that money. It was more so the community, the leaders in the community were supportive of what we were doing, and they wanted to help us in a way that mattered, which is, you know, supporting our time. And yeah, I remember I can't remember if it was when we started getting lots of in-kind sponsors, because we have, what, 9 in-kind sponsors? Or if it was when we started getting more for the podcast. But I remember just you and I had a moment where we were like, oh my God, like, this is not just a little thing we're doing now. Like,
people money really hit the bank account.
And they support us. And like, this can now be sustainable. We don't feel like we're, you know, having to really just do this for the importance and the love of it, but we can do it because it's something that can sustain us. So yeah, I think that just that feeling of being supported, and there've been so many people in the community that have consistently supported us and shared the episodes and retweeted things and stuff like that. And so seeing that buy-in from larger companies has been really, really, really nice.
I agree. That's amazing and wonderful. I'm going to talk about something that's a lot less important. Maybe not less important, but doesn't have as much weight or gravity to it, is that we were sitting at a table together in Thailand and made an episode.
That was pretty great.
I mean, that was so cool. And then you couldn't make it to WordCamp US this year, but I was sitting in the hallway recording a podcast episode with you back in Texas, which was super cool also. Like, to me, that was like pretty awesome.
It is pretty cool. Yeah, being able to do, you know, 99.99999% of this work we've done has been, we're not in the same place. So like, occasionally, like for Thailand or when we do see each other, being able to work on it together is very cool. But it's also really cool that like I feel like 20 years ago, if you told somebody, you know, I have a business partner, I see them maybe once a year and, you know, things are going great, they'd be like, wow, what, how do you do that? It's pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing. It's been, it has been really, really cool. I think one of the, like, I want to say, I don't know, eye-opening, but like one of the things that kind of leveled things for me too once is we launched this whole thing, and then Nigel Rogers asked us to speak about the project. This was, I want to say, like in 2021, maybe. This was quite a while back. And to speak to his meetup about the project. And I can't even remember where his meetup is. Maybe you can find that real quick. I don't think you were even able to be on that call for that night. And so I took that call, and it was, and he's on the African continent. Forgive me for not remembering what country he's in. And so I'm sitting there, and like the Zoom meeting is filling up with all these wonderful people, and I'm the only white person, the only white face in the whole thing. And Nigel was just, I love him so much. He says, he's introducing me, and I give my little pitch about why we started the project, what it's all about, how they could join the database, all of that. And somebody, I don't remember who it was, made a comment or asked a question like, why does this apply to us? And I was like, well, you're probably not a minority in your location. I would be the minority in your location, but we're talking about on a global level. And it was the first time that I was like, huh, so Black people aren't the minority everywhere they go. Because I was thinking at such a bigger level than if we were all in the same room, I at that point am the minority. And that was like one of those little, huh, I guess I really thought about it that way. And so it was kind of one of those little fun little things. But yeah, you're muted.
Sorry. I've had similar moments to that where, I have to remember that. I mean, I think it applies with a lot of different things, but yeah, being Black in America is a very different experience than being Black a lot of other places. And this project has definitely taught me to be cognizant of that and sensitive to that. So Nigel is in Zimbabwe, but I don't know if that's okay, if that's the meetup that it was.
I believe it was somewhere over there, but I don't remember which city it was, but yes. And so it was one of those, and I had people connecting to me and a bunch of people joined the database, and it was awesome. But I love that over the course of the last 3 years, I haven't just got more of an education from working with you. This project has made me learn, and I've grown so much in my allyship, in my understanding of the world and what underrepresentation means, and just being introduced to so many people whose perspectives matter. Because we talk about, you know, when we talk about underrepresented at this level, we're talking very much at the macro level, right? We're talking about groups of people. But within those groups, people have such different perspectives, different experiences, and bring such a wonderful tapestry of experience to the table. And so every single time I talk to somebody different about our project, I am learning and growing through what their experiences bring in that conversation. And I just love that. I mean, I've always thought of myself as an ally, but damn, I was a sucky ally 3 years ago. And I'm not like the perfect ally now, because you should never say, oh, I'm done. I'm the perfect ally, right? But I have continued to learn and grow. And, you know, I owe that to you and to our listeners and to the people that come and talk to us. And just, it's been awesome.
Yeah, it's been pretty great. I love when we get feedback from listeners and from people who've used the database. It doesn't happen as much as I would like it to. Like, one thing I remember thinking this year, like at one point I was like, should we start like a Slack channel, or like, how can we really get people to be more engaged with us in terms of like people who've used the database or people who listen to the podcast and getting those ideas in? And I think the webinar series was, I think, one sort of roundabout way in which we tried to do that, of like you said, like, hearing from individual people, you know, not just talking about blanket statements or blanket groups of people. But yeah, every time we have gotten feedback from individuals, it's always been very refreshing and eye-opening, and I think has made the project better.
Yeah. And it's been fun to have people approach us and say that we make a difference, that the things that we say, they really echo with them, and that they're happy that we are publicly saying what they're thinking. And I love that. And that people who, like me, thought they were great allies or didn't even know what allyship was, have approached me and said, I've learned so much from what you all share through underrepresented in tech. And to me, that's like, that's what it's all about.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit about what you're going to be doing next, like what some of your projects are, is it still a secret?
No, we can talk about that. I didn't know if you had any more questions.
I think that was, I said questions. I had that one. It was one question. I thought more would come, and that was, that is the next question. So what are you going to be doing next, Allie? That's what I meant.
What I'm going to be doing next, I'm not 1,000% sure how I'll be spending all of my time. But one thing that I'm going to be spending as much time on as possible is another podcast. that I had actually started this podcast. When did I first post? In 2021, early 2021. And what's cool about it, I think, is that it doesn't have anything to do with tech, but it still does have a lot to do with underrepresented people, because that is where my heart is. It is called Hysteria, and it is focused on women in the horror genre. So that first season that I released in January, I did six, seven, eight episodes. I always forget. I did eight episodes. And they're basically just short stories that were written by women, short horror stories that were written by women. And I did a lot of research about those authors and about the stories and tried to draw comparisons between, you know, like, why did she write this story? Why was this story important? What does it say about women? What does it say about horror? And the most popular one, and I think the most famous story that I included, is called The Yellow Wallpaper, by Charlotte Perkins Gilman. And I feel like a lot of people have read this story. Like, I read it in school, in high school. And like, so as an example for that story, when I did the research on that author, she had basically lived that experience where her husband decided that she needed to be, like, locked up for a period of time so that she would calm down. And, you know, I named it Hysteria because there are so many instances that women have had to go through where we are feeling something or expressing something and we get, you know, she's hysterical, she's crazy, she's too much, she's too loud, she's too this, she's too that. And so I thought Hysteria was such a perfect merging of what women have to go through and just general horror, right? Horror topics. So that first season was about stories. I'm going to start moving forward with weekly episodes where I take, because each of those stories were read by an actress. I had sponsors and I hired women to actually read these stories and it was incredible. But I'm going to move forward with weekly episodes where I pick a woman or a trope around women and talk about it in the context of the horror genre. So I'll tease and say the first episode, which I've already written and I'm very proud of myself for it, is about Carmilla, who was the first popular and the first female vampire. Before Dracula, before all the other ones, there was a short story about a vampire named Carmilla. And it is very gay because the person that she preys upon throughout the whole story is a woman. And it's very suggestive. But it's been shown that Bram Stoker took a lot from Carmilla to build Dracula. A lot of the same powers, a lot of the same habits. They were from the same place. So I talk about how Carmilla has influenced vampires as we know them and how, like, what she can tell us about horror. Like, horror is usually the things that we're scared of in our lives and how we can personify them and look at them and say, well, that scares me. And why does that scare me? And there's a lot about Carmilla that really scared people about that time. And it didn't just have to do with, like, you know, her killing people. So all of the episodes are going to be, yeah, there's this movie or this show or this character or this trope. And, like, what does that teach us about women? What does it teach us about horror? What is the impact that that's had on future things? And yeah, I'm really excited because I always said that I wanted to do more of this podcast when I have time, when I have time, when I have time. And now I'm going to dedicate the time to, like, really build it out and make it a brand. And hopefully at some point, like, have a Patreon and have, like, exclusive content and, you know, really make it a big, cool thing. And there are some people, when I launched Hysteria at the beginning, there were some people in the WordPress community who were very supportive and who listened to it and who posted about it. And that was huge for, like, that was the boost of traffic that that show needed, because even still, having posted those episodes back in 2021, and I don't post about it very much. I've started posting about it more recently, but I definitely think because of the WordPress community and the boost that people gave me, the show has, since I launched it, it has over 2,000 downloads.
That's amazing. That's awesome. For eight episodes? Wow.
So that's amazing. Crazy. Like, people are still listening to it. I still get, especially around spooky season every year, it goes up a little bit in listens. And yeah, there are actually even some WordPress some or one. There's at least one WordPress person who has read an episode in that first season as well.
Oh,
so very cool. I very much credit my WordPress community with helping me having started that and getting the momentum and feeling like, okay, I can do this. And so, yeah, I'm going to pursue it on a more like full-time basis.
You can cut this part out if you want to later, because you are our editor right now. Do you want to tell them who is the most recent person to learn about your podcast?
Oh my gosh. I'm still like so... I still can't believe it happened. Yeah, we can talk about it. I'll keep it in.
Okay.
Okay. Because I want to brag. And I wonder how many of our listeners are even going to know who this is. So if you've ever watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you might remember a character called Drusilla, who was a vampire. She was kind of a good slash bad vampire. She was a villain, but she, you know, we never killed her, right? I don't think Buffy ever killed her. She stuck around. No. And she was played by an actress named Juliet Landau, who is incredible. Like, when I first watched Buffy, Drusilla was just my favorite. I loved her characterization. I loved the way she was written. I loved the way she was acted. She's just an incredibly bizarre character. Yeah, she is a very bizarre person.
Juliet played it well.
Yes. And I've realized recently, because I do intend on doing an episode of Hysteria about Buffy the show. And I realized in thinking about that and brainstorming about it, Drusilla and Carmilla are very similar names.
Ooh, they are.
And I wouldn't put it past Joss Whedon to have done that on purpose. But so Michelle was very sneaky and she started texting me yesterday. She couched it in the context of Hysteria, and she was asking me what my favorite horror movie was. And I was like, this is uncharacteristic of our conversations, but like, sure, she's curious, whatever. So we started talking about horror. And a couple hours later, I have a text message and Michelle has gotten me a cameo of Juliet Landau, like wishing me well on my future things after leaving the podcast. And she said she went and like looked at my Instagram account for Hysteria. She didn't say that she listened to it, which I don't like, that's fine. But she went and she looked at like my account for the show, and she like, you know, remarked about it, and like I just lost my damn mind. Like, that was just absolutely the coolest thing in the whole world. I sent it to all of my friends who are Buffy fans, and they all started freaking out, and like, it was absolutely wonderful.
But before we move on and wrap things up, favorite Buffy episode? I have two. What's yours?
Gosh.
Should I tell you my first?
I will say I've not watched Buffy in about 10 years. It's been a long time since I've sat down and watched Buffy.
So for me, and then I'll tell you mine.
You go first.
Once More with Feeling, the musical episode.
Okay.
And Hush. The silent
Hush
episode.
Is pretty fantastic. Hush is a great one. I know that The Body is one of my favorites. Yeah.
Look, I got goosebumps as soon as you said that one. Yep.
I get goosebumps every time I think about it. I feel like if you've never watched Buffy, watch that episode. Like, that will show you the... Because, like, I'm going to cut a lot of this out.
That's okay.
In because when you first start watching Buffy, it's kind of unbearable. Like, the first season or so is so kind of... is very cringy. It took me a long time to really get into it. But The Body shows you what a masterful show... like, what There's a masterful so place much, that show can get
yeah,
to.
Yeah, so much depth in that one, for sure.
I'll say Hush is my other one. Because, those are really the ones that come to mind. Those are the iconic ones. It's been so long, though. I should rewatch it.
I should, too. I have to find where it is online.
The Body. I've watched video essays about The Body and, like, why it's so good and things like that.
And once more with Feeling, it's just so cringe that it's amazing.
It's fun. It's so much fun.
When Lydia was little, you and Lydia are the same age, when I want to say like 9, 10, 11 years old, I found the soundtrack burned into a CD at a garage sale. And we listened to that in the car for like 3 years. and That's sang delightful. Along with it. So I know like every word to every song in that episode. So it's just, and probably that would mean so much to me too, because it was such a bonding experience for me and my daughter. So yeah. Anyway,
I feel like what I remember of that is that none of them really could sing very well. Yeah. And it was difficult.
And somehow it happened. So yeah. It was probably better than some of the other musical episodes of other shows, but anyway, yes. For sure. So yeah. So Allie, thank you so much for the last 3 years of working together on this project, 3+ years of together working on this project. I will try not to bug you too much, but I, you know, as I move forward and figure things out, I'm still gonna like check in with you and make sure that it still feels like your gut, give a gut check if you want to be involved, because this was our baby together. So
yeah.
So you are never gonna be out of the project. I'm not gonna delete you off the website. You're the co-founder forever. But I am so grateful for the time that we've worked together on this project, and so excited to see the things you're gonna be working on going forward. So
thank you. I appreciate it. And yeah, I definitely want to stick around and help out as much as I can. And because I think also one of the things that has made this so successful is we've done it together, right? With two mm-hmm. people, and we can bounce ideas off of each other. And it doesn't, I feel like a lot of times if you start a side project and you're doing it alone, you don't know. It's like, is this a good idea? Does this make sense? Like, and I like that we've always been able to, even though we think about things a lot in the same way, we, mm-hmm. also have a lot of differences. And so it comes in handy for one of us to be like, well, I don't think that's really going to work because X, Y, Z of my experience mm-hmm. or what I know or whatever. And the other one is always like, okay, great. That's perfect. We won't do that. So I think that's a really valuable thing to have. And for as long as you still like need that from me, I'm willing to mm-hmm. provide Absolutely. An extra ear all the time.
And one promise I will make, and I've already made it to you, but I'll make it publicly as well, is that this will not become a whitewashed podcast. So I will have white guests, I am sure, because there are white underrepresented people in this world. But as I move forward, and if we do bring in a full-time co-host, they will be somebody from an underrepresented ethnic group, so that it isn't only white people having experiences and sharing their experiences through our podcast. So I want people listening to this not to worry about that aspect of it, because it will continue to showcase underrepresentation and all of the underrepresented communities, but bringing in perspectives that aren't just people like me.
Yeah, so that was really the main thing that I was not going to say concerned about, but
desiring.
That I wanted. Is to make sure that if someone does come fill my shoes, that they are a person of color, and hopefully have other underrepresented qualities than I do.
Yeah.
Because that's only going to make the show better, and that's going to be more things that y'all can talk about over time. So I'm really excited to see who that might be.
Me too. We'll see. We're working on it. Anyway, thank you. I love you. And I'm so grateful for this project together.
Me too. Alrighty. Thank you for listening. And I will be on, this is my last episode. We'll have a couple more in December that I'll be here for. But yeah, looking forward to next week.
See you then.
Bye. This episode was sponsored by the following companies. The Blogsmith. The Blogsmith is a holistic content marketing agency for B2B technology brands that creates data-driven content with a great reader experience. Visit theblogsmith.com to learn more. Thank you so much to our sponsors for this episode. If you're interested in sponsoring an episode, using our database, or just want to say hi, go to underrepresentedintech.com. See you next week.